Amen and glory. Let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we're so thankful you're mindful of us. You invested so much, your life, in your church. Lord, you looked down through the avenues of time and saw us see together tonight in heavenly places. You knew everything that we needed, and you provided Calvary. So we're here, Father, just to learn from you, learn to trust you, learn to be more like you. And Father, that's what you had us major on in these few days, to be more like you. We got a long way to go, some of us. Lord, we're learning and we're striving. Lord, as I stand here tonight to attempt to be the teacher from your word, I'm not much of an example. So would the Holy Ghost of God just empower me, live in me and through me, and let me utter the words and empower those words, anoint those words as only you can, so we, your people, can be more like you. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we humbly pray. Amen. Last night, we learned from God's precious word that to be more like Jesus, we're going to have to change a few things in our life because we don't always resemble him in our attitude or in our actions and what we're thinking, what we're doing. We learned last night the biggest problem. We heard one precious lady testify, and I love that testimony. She said something like, I quit looking and blaming other things. I realize it's just me. Come to grips with the fact that all of us need to, it's me, because my flesh. So we learned last night from God's precious word in Philippians chapter 4, somewhat how to crucify our flesh, bring it under subjection. And I think we did a fair job last night. But you know what? This morning, my flesh got up again. Paul says, I die daily. We have to learn to do that. Thank you, Brother Gunn, for sharing that with us, to remind us our soul is saved, our spirit is saved, but we're still in the flesh. And that is a hindering cause of every one of us being more like Jesus. So we learned last night. We learned to put that in practice in the fifth verse of chapter 4. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We learn that moderation, he's talking about, is gentleness, sweetness, fragrance, right thinking, to be like him in every situation because he is looking, he's observing. And we're to let that be known to all men. So we looked last night at the spiritual or at the physical aspect. We looked at the subjection of the flesh, that we have to bring it under subjection. But sometimes we fail in that. We did our best last night. I did my best. I really did. But then in the sixth verse, he told us what we really need to measure on. We found out that we're weak in doing that, did we not? The flesh is weak. So, but we realized in the sixth verse that we read last night, he told us that be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So to bring the flesh under subjection, we need some help. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I need help. Well, he told me how to find it. So tonight's lesson is how to find that help, he told us in verse 6. We find that help because we're going to have a prayer life. We look at the physical. Now we're going to look at the spiritual. We looked at subjection to the flesh. Now we're going to look at the ability to pray and seek his face and have a prayer life. And to do that, there's three aspects that he would have us look at tonight. If you have a prayer life and if you really want to insert in our life a willingness to let the flesh be under subjection, we need some help. And he's promised to have. He gives a good outline, so let's look at his outline, far better than anything I've ever come with. It's It's a perfect outline. And that would be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at that four-point outline tonight. Of first thing we look at is the desire to pray. Now, I have to submit to you, if you pray because you know to do it, but you're not willing to do it, but you want to say the words anyway, that's not a desire. And it won't get you very far. It won't help you whatsoever to bring the flesh under subjection. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, we read these words. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Four aspects. We're looking first of all at having a desire to pray, and this outlines it perfectly for me. First of all, it's an attitude. Have you ever met people that, you know, they're pretty good folk, but really, just to be truthful about it, they need an attitude adjustment. And I'll be a little bit more personal. Have you in your life ever come to the place where you're thinking wrong, you're not looking at things right, and what you really need is an attitude adjustment? Well, he tells us how to have that. This attitude adjustment is the first thing, rejoice evermore. In your mind, learn to be thankful for the things that he's blessed you with. We heard about from people last night and tonight. There's a lot of things, of course, that we could quarrel about, argue about, and complain about things aren't right in the world and here and there, and even in your life and mine. You could even say, well, things aren't right in the church, aren't right in me or you. But thank you, sister, for letting us know. It's usually we're the one to blame. So if we learn our attitude about life in general, thanks to God, and we learn to rejoice, as he said, evermore. Rejoice in salvation. Rejoice that things are as well with you as they are. Rejoice that we're able to come when nobody's bound us and keeps us from coming. There's a lot to rejoice about. And if you want to have a desire to pray, that's the first step. Attitude. Second step. Next verse. An ambition, an aspiration, a desire. If you really want to pray and seek his face and have that desire, you got to have the right thinking, right attitude, but you have to have ambition about it. Nothing is successful in life without an ambition. A lot of us would like to stay in the bed a bit longer than we do, just truthful. And sometimes we'd like to go to bed a little bit earlier. You'd like to dismiss from your mind all the negative things. He says, look what he says, pray without ceasing. If you have a desire, let me share in my life what's worked for me. I was going back, and we've had a lot of testimonies here lately. Do you remember? Do you remember? I like that. Do you remember when? I remember in the old church when God had his seeking revival, seeking his face, learning to be more like him, that he taught us so many things. And one time he had us separate the school, every school in Henderson County, and many schools in Buncombe County, and some even far away universities. And we split it up on a Wednesday night, and we had the desire, and we split it up, and we said, okay, you go to those 8, you go to those 10, and I believe I took 8, best I remember. And every week, for over a year, I had the desire, and I put legs on it, and I would drive to those schools, and I would pray, and many of us did that, and we prayed and we prayed. Now, God had us do it about 20 years ago because you know what? You couldn't do that today. You know why? If someone, the authority, saw the same car going to the same school every week, you'd get a phone call. You'd get a police escort out of there. Wasn't like that 20 years ago. We took advantage of it, and that gave us a desire to pray. And we pray without ceasing. Another time, the Lord had us look at that area around here, all the way from Hooper's Creek, all the way to Buncombe County. And we split up Fletcher in 7 districts. And we had volunteers. You take this district. And you take this district. And every week, we went and drove those roads in the district assigned to us by the Lord. and we prayed. And I'm not saying that to brag about it whatsoever. I'm just saying in doing that, that gave me a desire to pray without ceasing. I couldn't wait to get to the school I'd promised the Lord, and I'd promised the church I will pray. It gave me a desire to pray. And whatever it is, whatever it takes in your life, a desire to pray, first of all, is an ambition and an attitude of prayer. He keeps going in the next verse and tells us we heard that. God works all this out. We heard from Jason, Brother Jason, saying that anticipation. Look what it says in the next verse. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When you have that desire to pray about those things that's on your mind, and in my case this week is more about, Lord, help me be more like you. And then along the journey, I won't have a desire to pray for others. I won't have a desire to pray. But he tells us, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Anticipation. I can't wait to do what you told me to do. I can't wait to fulfill the desire of my heart. And I anticipate with gladness what you're going to do in return. Not pass on the back. No, no. We need a desire to pray. Fourthly, quench not the Spirit. We heard that last night, did we not? Assurance. We've seen, first of all, attitude. We've seen ambition or aspiration. We've seen, thirdly, anticipation of what God will do. And then, if you do those, when you approach the throne room with the desire to pray, you can have the assurance that God will answer those prayers if you promise Him, I will not quench the Spirit. What you tell me to do, I'll do. If you tell me to go pray there, if you get me out of bed 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, many times He's done that for me, woke me up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, say, go to the church and pray. Fortunately, I have a key, I have a way to get in, and I come and crawl behind the pulpit. He's always here. Whatever it takes, you must have a desire to pray. Because we realize we can't be more like Him without His help. And this is a good outline He gave us of desire to pray. Now, I will submit to you, a desire to pray will not be enough. Say, explain that. Okay? Remember, Peter said, Lord, I know Jesus said everyone's going to forsake me. And I can see Peter looking around. No doubt he's looking at John, he's looking at Andrew, he's looking at the rest of them, and I believe he probably said, yeah, wouldn't surprise me a bit. But here's one old boy that's not going to fail you. Though everybody, I'll stand with you. He had the desire to be more like Jesus. He had the desire to pray. But desire wasn't enough. There has to be a determination that you're going to do it. And Peter had a good attitude about it. He had ambition about it. He had the desire. He told Jesus, I know what they'll do, but I know what I'll do. I desire to be with you. But he lacked determination. Just read about it. Same thing can happen to you. You can say all you want to, I desire to be more like you. But you got to be more than desire. You have to determine to do it and do it. Illustration? Mark chapter 14. How to have a determination to pray. We know we have to have a desire. We know how to get that desire. He told us in the scripture we just read. But now the determination in Mark chapter 14. You know all about Peter. I already told the Lord, I'm going to follow you. Now Jesus asking something of him. And he cometh and find him sleeping. He's in the garden. And what is another? Now here, 11 of them, one's already gone out to betray him. But here are 11 disciples following him into the Garden of Gethsemane. Those giant olive trees there. Some of those olive trees that was there when Jesus was praying are still there. They were same 2,000 years old. And you know, last time I was there, I looked. And those trees were still bearing olives. No, Jesus said, you're going to bear fruit if you'll follow me. And now here they are, and Jesus goes over and he takes 3 with him. He knew the rest of them weren't going to do anything, but he really relied on Peter, James, and John. I mean, Peter's already said, I'm following you. I have a desire. Well, Jesus knew what they'd do, but they didn't know what they'd do, so he brought them to this place. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, I can almost hear his voice with disappointment. Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You have a desire to do it. You matched all those 4 qualifications. But you wasn't determined in your heart to follow the desire of your heart. And now, Peter, you've let me down. Is he speaking to you? Is he speaking to me? You don't always have a desire to pray, but he told us how. Then, once you get that desire, you have to be determined that you will follow through. Keep reading. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. Excuses, excuses, excuses. We make them all the time to the Lord and to ourselves. I get tired of my excuses to myself. And I know the Lord gets tired. Simon, could you not watch and pray 1 hour? And then he did it again. Look what Jesus did. And he cometh the third time. That desire he had faded away quickly, didn't it? You know why? He lacked the determination to bring the flesh under subjection. And we thought we had it last night. Look what happens. Sleep on now. And take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us go. For lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. I can see the disappointment in Jesus' face. As I hear his words of disappointment. But I wonder how disappointed Peter, James, and John were. After all, they had a desire to pray, but they were not determined to follow through to pray. Let's look lastly. It would help us understand what we already know, but this is a refresher. There is deliverance by prayer. Let's turn the Bible to the book of Jude. Deliverance by prayer. Let's look at this deliverance. First of all, we learn to be steadfast in our faith. Don't we need that? The flesh is weak. We have a desire, but we don't have the determination. We don't follow through. And you know why we don't? Jude tells us. Jude, verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You want to learn how to make that desire a determination that will not fail? This is it. And he calls his brethren, but ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Faith, it's really the faith he gave you. He instilled in you. He imparted in you at salvation. His faith. Paul learned that. It took me a long time to learn it, and I'm still wavering it somewhat. Paul said, I have learned to live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul, no doubt, had tried what you and I try, living by your faith. No wonder we're up and down, in and out, desire, no determination. You know why? Our faith. I said, our faith fails. Paul said, I've learned to live by the faith of the Son of God. Help us, Lord, in these days. And you can if you'll be more like him. You'll have desire followed by determination, and you'll see deliverance, steadfastness. faith, unwavering faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Steadfastness makes the desire and determination akin and joined together. It's hard to get the desire, I admit to you. Flesh don't want you to have it. But once you get it, it'll help you have that determination. Because you'll see the deliverance there is. It'll make you steadfast regardless of circumstances. But there's a second thing it will do. Look at the next two verses. It'll save some souls from hell. See, it's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about me being more like him because I can't do that for you. But when I become more like him and I get steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, then it will help me grow and I'll see deliverance of my own self, that I'm not wavering anymore. James already told us what's going to happen if you waver. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man ask anything of God. But steadfastness, by having the desire and determination and seeing deliverance come, it'll get you steadfast. Look at the next thing, verses 22 and 23. Saving some souls from hell. There will be deliverance from a prayer life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. It'll make a difference in some because they'll see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. When we have the desire that produces a determination, that results in the deliverance from our inadequate lifestyle, and we become more like him, steadfast, the glow of God on our life. There'll be deliverance from that in our life, but the deliverance from many souls from hell. Look carefully at these two verses, and we're closing to see what else God wants to do tonight. And others say with fear. See, God knows what he wants to accomplish by you and I being more like him. He's already got the roads out there ascribed to you and to me. He's already got the people that's lined up to meet you and see the twinkle in your eye and not see fear and not see wavering. But when they see steadfastness and faith, because of your desire and your determination and the deliverance. And even when things don't go right, just thank God that things are as well with you as they are. And others will be saved from far. Isn't that precious? There's deliverance by prayer, folks. Whatever it takes, ask God to help you. Now, you can't do it yourself. We learned that. But he said in everything by prayer and fasting, let your requests be made known. He can help us. You yourself can't overcome your flesh, but through Christ you can. He'll give you that desire, that determination, and that deliverance, and we will see many souls plucked from the devil's reign. Brother Percy Ray tells this story, one of my heroes of faith. He'd become an agnostic and even become an infidel at one point in his life, and didn't he believe that there was a God. But God knew what he had for him, so he showed him a vision of hell. And he got so close to those souls being thrown into hell by Satan, and he heard their screams, and he literally felt the heat. Can you imagine a vision that you could hear this eternal screams of souls plunged into hell and feel the heat? It woke him out of his thing about there is no God, and he got right with God and got called to preach. And when Darren heard that story, my son, he says, Brother Percy Ray said that God told him, if you will get saved and preach, all those people that you saw going to hell, I'll let you lead them and save them and be deliverance. And when Darren heard that, he said, that was a 12-year-old boy. I'm one of those souls that's been in hell. There is deliverance from the fire. Once you get steadfast and immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. Short message from that. It'll do the job. God outlined this for us in His Word before we ever were born. And He knew what we had needed tonight. Let it reside with you. It'll work every time. You've got to have a desire to pray. You've got to be determined to do it. And the Holy Spirit will help you do it. And you will see deliverance. Lord Jesus, You see us tonight. We're anticipating. We have the assurance that You're going to do mighty works within the hearts of Your people. Lord, You could do it any way You wanted to, but You chose to use people. They've got to be cleaned up by the precious blood. They have to be in tune with You. They have the desire to be more like You. And Lord, there's nothing within their self that would desire that. It's got to be You. We know that. We have to submit ourselves afresh in You once again. Say, Lord, let it be me. Let me do these things. And tomorrow we have to pray the prayer because the flesh will want to do like Peter did. Lay and sleep. Promise what we will, but the final result is according to the determination we put forth. We will see deliverance. You promised that. And here we are, Father. We're just waiting on You. And God, I've done my little part, all You told me to do tonight. But You're using others. This is a school. This is a learning place where You're teaching us the movement of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Ghost in the believer's life to accomplish Your plan and Your purpose. Lord, we all want to be more like You. I remember the verse that we read a while ago, quits not the Spirit. There's no assurance that You're going to accomplish anything through us unless we're determined. If You say it, we're going to do it. When You say do it, how You say do it. And help us overcome the fear. And help us overcome the unwillingness to do it. Give us the determination and the desire. And Father, the deliverance will come. It's an automatic. You promised it. We bless You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever God puts on your heart, I know He's put something on your heart. Brother Guy.